All right, good afternoon, everybody. We're late because I'll admit this. First time this has ever happened to me in the 15 years doing the show, I was late for a show.
I knew you were going to be
blame
too.
For it.
You didn't. You budgeted. We're about Studio B, Bowser, yes. Chevrolet, Monrovia. Let me take this one. Sometimes when this happens, we're on location. You tend to get frazzled, and that's when I step up like a backup quarterback. I come in there like Frank Reich, and so usually it takes.
Not Mason Rudolph. You don't want to go with a more recent example.
I thought a guy who led a 32-point comeback might be a better choice.
I don't think Dom even knows who Frank Reich is, other than him coaching.
Who did Frank Reich play for, Dom, in the NFL? Who is his most famous?
We don't have intern. We don't have Donnie today because he's doing high school football. He's not going to get this one unless he's looking it up on the internet right now.
He played for the Bills.
Okay.
And I was going to say the Bills.
He also has.
No, you were not. Who did he come back and beat in that playoff game?
I don't know. I know he played for the Bills.
Right.
He also had, I think at the time, the biggest college comeback in history. Anyway, it usually takes, I have this dialed in, when we're at Studio B, from our building in normal Friday, any day of the week traffic conditions, it takes between 30 and 33 minutes to get here. That is more or less down to a science for me. So today, actually, I was talking to Dom. It's his last day, I believe, till he goes back to school.
Congratulations on all his success.
And he was picking my brain for a second. Our boss, Craig, I'll throw him under the bus. He Dom from us because they were talking shop for a while, and I got out of there at about 1:18 or 1:19, thinking boom, got 7 or 8 minutes Gucci, and I knew you were still in the building, you were finishing something up, and I got in the car, I got towards the parkway and punched it in real quick and said, okay, Bowser Chevrolet of Monroeville, and I just, my heart sank, Pony, because it said 204, it said traffic is extra heavy, there are two separate slowdowns, and I knew you were going to
Friday
be
Squirrel Hill traffic.
In a world, I knew you were going to be in a world of hurt.
I've lived here long enough where I should have accounted for it. It's really inexcusable on my part. I should know that it's.
But you were trying to make the show better. You were trying to put an extra thing in. It was your desire to make the show the best show it can be.
I do believe Friday Squirrel Hill Tunnel. Is worse than Monday through Thursday Squirrel Hill Tunnel traffic.
Well, I think Friday traffic.
And I didn't
traffic,
think of that.
Here's the other thing. It's not just Squirrel Hill Tunnel on Friday. It's this time of day. People are screwing off early for the weekend.
Right. I thought I was safe because it was between 1 and 2, another amateur hour move by me.
But you know what? We're past it. You actually, Dom, this is how much he cares. Pittsburgh, this is how much the man cares. You can see it written on his face. He's got his Char Houston gear on.
Oh, we got a big game tonight against Jefferson Morgan as a 10-point dog.
They're 10-point dogs against Jeff Moe. This man
throw the record
is
books
deeply,
out the window when the team from Greene County
now,
comes
is it
up
at home?
Wash County.
Is it a home it game? Okay. Yeah. He's deeply hurt by this, but we're ready to go. And I'll tell you what.
I'm ready to pregame. Me and King Howie already have plans.
What do you got going on in the pregame?
I think a cigar and a couple beers.
Nice. By the way, my little morning was I ran out, played 9 holes at a place I grew up playing, North Park Golf Course.
Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you. But I hadn't been there in well over 5 years. I said 5 years. I think I posted a little picture. Pony, they were trying to pull me back to the North Hills. The starter, I knew him. The superintendent, he knew the show. He was a big fan. Everyone was talking That's up nice. The show. And they were saying, Mulsey, you've got to come back more often. You've got to show your face up here. The North Hills misses Mulsey. That's what I found out. Today.
I will get to the Russell Wilson clip because we do have Steelers and Lions, and as it turns out, perusing. I was doing that. And
oh no!
We are we are the center of the NFL universe. I don't know if you knew that. We absolutely are right now.
The irony being that the Chiefs are the best team, but they're so metronomically good.
When it comes to August football,
the Steelers move that needle, baby.
But the NFL media world has decided that. The quarterback battle here, and then also the Ayuk stuff, makes us the team that everyone has its eyes on.
Yeah, the
globally
team.
Speaking, as Tom likes to say,
yes, very global.
So I do want to get to that. I would be remiss to say though, I am a little bit jealous of Donnie on a day like this. Not that I am super duper into high school football, but you can't help yourself when you live here. It's when the season starts. To get a little bit pepped up for it.
Friday Night Lights always matters. Everybody's got hope, including the 10-point underdog, Char Houston Buccaneers.
You know what? It's not even to me about like expectations for a season or wins and losses. It's just the fact that it's back. And I did that with, you know, do you have a fast, like I'll make an analogy here. There is a fast food place that I'm not going to name.
Okay.
And I will go maybe a year or two without having it.
Okay.
And I'll say to myself, you know what? I'm going to give that place another shot. And then like 4 or 5 bites in, I remember
why.
What's wrong with you? You do this every so often. You go on a long break. You try it again. It's not good. But then you get sucked into the advertising or you see something new.
And mouth the name of it silently.
No, I'm not doing that right now. And you do it and you go back and it's not good.
Yeah.
And that's preseason football for me.
Yep.
Oh, the Hall of Fame game's back. Yippee. Oh, the Steelers are playing. Who the frick did they play in the first game? Houston. We have football. We have something closer to real football.
Football, baby. Woo!
Then you get to the third preseason game, and for me, I'm just
eyes glazed
over.
Your stomach hurts.
It's not an entertaining product. That's why the commissioner wants to get rid of it. But that does not exist with the high school football opening act here. Like the fact that, I don't know, it's just I'm going to drive home, and on 79, I'll see the lights on at Cannonsburg. Then I'll get closer to where I live. And it's just, on one hand, it's a little bit, the only bittersweet part of it is like, damn, summer's over. But other than that, it's just a really cool.
Not to make this about golf again, but summer's over means fall golf really starts. And any psycho golfer will tell you.
Is that the goal of the show? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 more segments. Can you work a golf reference in to every segment for the rest of the show?
I mean, I don't think that's a dare you want to put on me. But no, summer's over, but. I don't know, in a way, I think about the passage of time. It's hitting me a little different this year.
Oh, yeah, because your kid went back to school.
He's in real school now in that sense, where he's going 5 days a week. I still have not made it up to a Montour football game since we've lived there, just almost out of like happenstance. It's just sometimes it's hard to do.
Yep.
This is going to be the year where I hit up a
couple. There you go. You've circled it. You've said it. Now you got
to. And we're going to go to Montour Hoops. I got to take you guys to a Montour Hoops game. Jim, very cool there.
Explosive plays. I think also too, just how well the line's done throughout the whole preseason. Really excited about it. Obviously, we know how great Broderick Jones is. Everybody was talking about Broderick's a great football player. You know, he's one of the reasons why I came here. You know, because of how talented he is. You know, we got a lot of talent on this football team. I think about the running backs we have. I think about we haven't done good enough. You know, as a collective effort to make sure that they hit their big runs. We've had a couple of them, but I think we can have even more. We've shown that.
Russell Wilson, for the record, he did not sign here. Because of Broderick Jones. He signed here because they promised him that he could start. And he also wanted to stick it to the Broncos. And he also has a very good relationship with one of the Steelers' most prominent minority owners. That man being Thomas Tull, who has attempted to buy the Pirates and also has an extensive collection of old baseball memorabilia, like jerseys worn by Babe Ruth and bats used
by
Ruth. What an aphrodisiac that must be.
Can you tell me the one historical NFL owner who has a very strong connection to Babe Ruth?
Mike Brown, because they went to high school together?
No, Ron Cook. I found this out. I was listening to a random podcast. The NFL might not exist as such without Babe Ruth. George Halas was the Yankees' right fielder, got hurt.
Oh, that's right.
And then they brought in Babe Ruth via trade, and that is the reason Halas basically gave up baseball because he got hurt, and then they brought in the greatest hitter of that
era. He also kept the Bears. Solvent, is that the word?
Yeah, solvent.
Because he had a successful laundry business, and the football team was losing money, but he was making hand over fist with laundry.
Fascinating deep dive into that ownership situation that I got into. Yeah, I bet you didn't think you'd have that on the old Malzy bingo card today.
I did, because I am a psychopath and I have no life. When my wife is out of town, she was on a kayaking trip. So
she go down Ohio Pile.
No, she went up near Bradford, PA.
Like, not Kinzua Dam or Reservoir.
I don't know.
Oh, our old manager, Michael Young, is from Bradford.
I have no sense for
Bradford is like more bears than people.
Yeah.
Bradford is the cut.
Like north.
North central PA is
north,
wild.
North PA between, say, Erie and Scranton. I have
there's
idea
Tioga.
What's going on there.
Again, there's a lot of bears.
Anywho, so I'm on my couch. I forgot that there was a game on Amazon. And so I had the Bears and Chiefs on. And guess who played at quarterback the entire game for Kansas City?
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
A man
Chris
with two
Chris Oladokun?
Yep. Two Super Bowl rings. Chris Oladokun. And so I wanted
to ask. How do you look, by the way?
But that's what I'm getting to here. So tell me what you would think or what you would do with Russell Wilson if he has the same stat line that Oladokun had last night for the Chiefs. 9 of 16, 66 yards. So that's an average of 4 yards per pass attempt.
Kenny line right now.
Zero touchdowns. no interception, zero touchdowns, two interceptions, 26.6 passer rating. 9 of 16, 66, 4.1, 0-2, 26.6.
I'd still start Wilson. I'd still make him my week one starter.
So there. So you are of the opinion right now that there's pretty much nothing he can do short of getting badly injured in this game to lose his job.
Correct. And I think one of the things that drives that home to me is, from what I understand, like, you know how nationally there's been the narrative that it's this is up in the air, man. This the coin has been flipped and nobody knows how it's going to land.
People in the national media who think that it's like idiotic to go with Wilson. Not only coin flip.
Florio said it's an obvious decision to go with Fields. Other people, I think, feel the same way. And here's the facts of the matter, at least as I understand them. I'm sure you talk to some people too. When it comes to reps with the first team at practice, okay, one guy is taking all of them. That tells me there is no controversy in Mike Tomlin's mind. It is Russell Wilson. Fields is no longer getting first team reps in practice. Every snap that comes with those, with from Zach Frazier, with Sayamalu and everybody else on that line, it's Russell Wilson. That's why I speak with that level of confidence.
Fair enough.
Because I just know Tomlin. Tomlin's, by the way, weird thing here, real quick. His weird thing is he's being cagey or coy. Who cares, Mike? Just name your starter. What the hell is going on here? I think it's just because he likes being difficult about certain things, and this is one of them.
Well, I also think it's out of deference to Fields. He's a guy that got out of his car. He'd get out of his big Lamborghini or whatever, and he knew what it was like to be a franchise quarterback. You know, he made some comment about that, I think, on Ryan Clark's Pivot podcast. We've got two guys that know what it's like to be the face of a team. And I think he knows they got Fields for a little bit less, not a lot less, but a little bit less, because he wanted to come here and play for Mike. So I think Mike is trying to be respectful to him, even though Fields has got to see the writing on the wall based on what you just said. My question is not what you think Tomlin will do. My question would be, what would you do if you had a crappy game like that?
I would still make him the man. I still would. I mean, the leash, I think you can be a reasonable person and say, if you saw that, the leash might get like incrementally shorter. But again, I'd be making a decision or making any kind of move or even adjusting my thought process based off of preseason football, man.
I know. And that leaf is still turned over for me.
And I'm not going to ask you what kind of interceptions Oladokun had, if they were tip balls or if he just threw a couple dog passes.
They were not good.
Okay, so they're bad. Like, the way that it looks would actually matter a little bit if Wilson just threw a ball that was like, what the hell are you doing, man? Versus it goes off of Dez Fitzpatrick.
But I disagree with you, because I'm going to now give you a hypothetical where he throws two interceptions where you say, what are you doing, man?
I know, so
it does not matter.
Well, only in the sense that I am probably incrementally shortening his leash for the regular season. But I think it would be very foolhardy for Mike Tomlin to make any kind of a rash decision based on that, because once you take Pandora out of the box here and bench Russell Wilson, you can't go. You pretty much are at point of no return.
Why is that?
He was promised the starting job in all but like official, you know, capacity.
Okay.
Like, other than like Mike delivering him a notarized letter that says you are the starter.
All right.
If you go to him and then say by the end of the preseason, you say, you know what, you ain't it. He's going to be like checked out, I think, a little bit. I just think that would be very difficult for him to handle. You've made this point, and I agree with it. Mm-hmm. I think it's much easier to go Wilson, watch to see what Wilson does, even if it's for a game or two, Pony. Like, if he plays bad against Atlanta, Atlanta should be better. Judon's going to make their defense better. Cousins might cook a little bit, right? They lose that game on the road, fine. If he then goes for the game that he should be hyper-motivated for, the Denver revenge game, and looks bad, you can pull the ripcord there if you really want to, if you're 0-2.
I will tell you my answer when we come back. Also, Steelers, who needs a big game tomorrow? Who's the guy that needs to have a big game? 2:36, time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. See what they can do for you. All right, give me a guy who needs to have a big game tomorrow for the Steelers. I know it's an exhibition game. I know that we don't want to draw conclusions from it, but sometimes guys make teams move up the roster because of what they do, even when they were playing that silly game in Carolina or against the Panthers for all those years. Guy at the gym today is like, yeah, I can't wait to see Bryce Young against the Steelers defense tomorrow. And I'm like, dude, that's done. They're not doing the annual rivalry as old as time, Panthers and Steelers, in the preseason anymore.
The preseason really resonates with fans, as he thought it was just the Carolina
game. He was let down. He's like, oh, crap.
It's probably the first time in somebody's in the existence of Bryce Young as a pro where somebody's like, oh, darn it, I don't get to see
Bryce
Young.
I mean, that used to be the last one, and if it was a home game, you'd have Ribfest right there with it. Edmund Nelson.
Are we contractually obligated to mention Edmund anytime Ribfest comes up? I don't think we've ever just independently.
This is Edmund's season. Edmund Nelson is on our minds as Steelers fans every August.
And then
he goes away, and then we're reminded of the greatness of Edmund Nelson in that broadcast booth.
It's like when the first like chilly fall evening or morning happens, you think of pumpkin spice lattes. You get to the final preseason game, you think of brisket and ribs. One guy, Broderick Jones. Man.
Really?
I mean,
so it does matter to you how he looks in this
game.
Well,
because he's hurt. Because we know he's playing, like he tried to downplay it, and I give him credit.
I mean, that's a good answer, because Fittipaldo said yesterday, he thinks if Jones has a bad game, that they would be inclined to go with Dan Moore and Fautanu in week one.
Oh, I'm almost convinced they're going to regardless.
See, I'm not.
See, here's why I say it,
because I think they could go more at left tackle, Jones at right, and give Fautanu an extra week to get ready.
Well, I could conceivably come up with a scenario where, at the very least, like you just said, both bookend first-round picks aren't playing in week one, and there's Dan Moore for at least one more week. He's playing hurt. He said it's not an issue. It clearly is, though, to some degree. So I have to see that, like, in his words, he said, I basically had a bad day. And then people who watched that joint practice said he handled Rousseau in practice pretty much.
Yep.
I need to see a return to that form, because I have seen Broderick Jones play, in my opinion, 11 pretty good games at right tackle. So, like, I know he can do it, but he's supposed to be the most athletic and probably highest ceiling guy on your line. I would like to see him look more like that guy, even if he's battling through something. So he's actually my answer here.
I'm going to give you one off the grid. I'm going to say Isaiah Loudermilk, and here's why I'm going to say that.
God, you are knee deep in it right
I'm
now.
I'm going to say Isaiah Loudermilk, and this is preseason fan behavior, but it's incredible the amount of people that do obsess over either what the results look like or the minutiae of the bottom of the roster. Steelers fans, we might be, as far as fan bases go, Steelers fans are so hardcore. They get into like 50, the 50th man on the roster down to 53 and the cut down stuff. And any article that goes out, 53 man roster projection, everybody reads it. They lie to themselves and say they don't, but they do. And then the other thing we just can't get enough of is, like, you know, line play. We're just obsessed in this area with who's, you know, offensive line development and everything else. Here's what I'm saying, Loudermilk. I think if he puts more good tape out there, if I'm Omar Khan, I'd want to trade him. Because if I can get like a 7th round pick for him or just something late on the back end, give me a 6th or 7th or something. You flip him, that gives you an extra pick. So you can use one of your current picks to trade for either an extra corner or
Brandon Ayuk.
You're going to send picks in that trade. You're going to have to get extra picks. They won't be 2nd and 3rds, but you still want
to
have.
You need to put other new bodies on the roster,
right? And so you've got Ogunjobi, Benton, Hayward. That's 3. Lowry, the guy they brought in from Minnesota, who's a veteran, who's like a lock to make the team. 4. Monty Adams, 5. The kid from Iowa, maybe, who they picked in the 6th round, Lee, 6. Leal, if they count him as a defensive lineman, but they look at him as like
he's
a hybrid.
He's more of an outside backer.
But he's still lining up at defensive lineman in these games more. That's 7. That's 7 guys. And Loudermilk had a good first game against Houston. Can he put more good tape out there for some team that's thin on the defensive line? Here, take this guy. Whatever you want to give us back from, fine. And okay, now you got more picks in the kitty, because you've got to do your own roster maintenance here in the next couple of weeks. You've got to get another body at corner, and you've got to get at least one more wide receiver. You might even want to pick up another interior offensive lineman now that Herbig's out for the year.
Hassenauer's available.
Yeah, I just saw that. Yeah, Ed Bouchette was saying he should have been their starter when Green was.
Who are you
like
counting
ass
as their corners right now that you have some trust in? I shouldn't even say trust, but you're counting as their corners, and you say you need to add to this group of who?
Joey Porter Jr.,
Dante Jackson,
Corey Trice, and that's
my
list.
I feel like they're trying to get Watson there. I know that.
Watson?
Watts.
Oh.
Ryan Watts, who just started playing it after being a safety. We brought this guy up yesterday. I really believe that they are going to, come hell or high water, try to make him stick as their 4th cornerback. because they feel like he moves pretty well, and they feel like he's taken to it well so far.
All right, let me answer your question on, or it was my own question.
Do you want me to ask it again?
No, on what I would feel like or what I would do if Wilson's stat line looked like the former Steeler Chris Oladokun last night in Kansas City, where he went 9 of 16, 66 yards, 2 interceptions, 26 passer rating. If Wilson were to do that tomorrow against Detroit, what my reaction would be.
Okay.
I have a clip for you that I want intern Dom to play. Alec Boone. Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah.
What does he do? Or what did he do?
I thought he was like an offensive
player. He was, yeah. But he's a kind of a nameless gray face. But like many nameless gray faces, he now has a podcast.
I want to remember who he played for.
He now has an in-depth offensive line podcast.
So he's like the JT O'Sullivan of offensive line podcasters, or the Kurt Benkert.
I think he had a better career than both of those guys because you recognize the name. But yes, he is parlaying having played in the NFL to now doing podcast and video work.
Okay.
So this is either labeled Boone or this is labeled former offensive lineman. We're at Studio B, so Dom will be able to find it. It's labeled either one of those things. We do? Okay, thank you. He said this about watching Russell Wilson in the Steelers offense against Buffalo last weekend.
We're going to blame the OC. Then I think I'm going to blame anybody. Broderick Jones doesn't help the issue, right? Like when you're getting thrown off your spot and the quarterback's getting filleted every other third down, like I'm not with that. But at the same time, dude, there is nothing exciting about this offense. Offenses are supposed to be creative, exciting, blow you away. Like you look at the play and go, there's no way this makes sense. And the coach goes, exactly. Now you defend this. And you go, oh, there's none of that. It's stick route, out route, flat route. I'm sorry. It's horrible. Your old line can't block anybody. You have no run game. And your OC is terrible. I don't know what to tell you.
So he was blaming Arthur Smith more than anything else. Here's why I'm going to say if Wilson puts up horrible numbers, I won't care. I don't think Arthur Smith gives a rat's ass about the preseason. I think the only reason why he's playing these guys is because Tomlin is making him. And the evidence I have of that is the game last year between the Steelers and Falcons.
He didn't play any of
them. He didn't play anybody.
And he had a guy in Ritter who he actually could have justified playing.
So we know his feelings on preseason football. And I think it's a half measure. I think he's running these guys out there because the head coach is making them, but I think he is making. Do you like French vanilla or vanilla bean ice cream?
Vanilla bean for sure.
What?
Oh, vanilla bean.
Oh, I'm team French vanilla all the way.
French vanilla is the worst coffee creamer flavor. I don't even know they made French vanilla ice cream, but vanilla bean.
It's a superior vanilla taste.
No, it's not. It's way too.
Dom, can you break the tie here, please?
Vanilla bean is like a classy thing. You see,
I don't want to see little brown. It looks like black pepper in my ice cream. I don't want that.
Or it could be vanilla bean flakes, which are just adding to enhance.
Dom, please break the tie.
What are we arguing about? Vanilla bean versus
French vanilla.
Apparently, French vanilla ice cream. Something
superior vanilla.
Seen before.
Yeah, I'd probably go vanilla bean.
Thank you.
You guys suck. But anyways, yeah, it's the most conservative vanilla offense.
Is Alex Boone planning on trying to monetize that podcast? Because I think if you cuss that much, I feel like you're not going to find the audience you want.
Do you think if we did a show where we were not on the air, but we were somewhere and we were just allowed to say whatever we wanted, people would like that?
Maybe. I think like occasionally, but here's my weird take on swearing. If I did satellite radio where you're allowed to say all that,
I never hear hosts on there swear.
That's my thing. I don't think I would. I feel so trained in not swearing other than the words we're allowed to use, the very mild profanities that are FCC approved. I think it would sound amateurish if we did anything else.
Very under the radar comment by Fields going into this game that got glossed over. I apologize that I didn't get to this sooner, and I apologize on behalf of the host at the station that we've downplayed comments from him on what he thinks of his status with the team, because I think these are important and I want to get them to you next with the Steelers and Lions. One more preseason tune up tomorrow, and then we get the real thing in Atlanta, where my dad is an actor and appeared on The Walking Dead and also had a scene with The Rock and Ryan Reynolds in a movie where he was naked, but it got cut, did not make it into the film. True story.
Butt double,
but his butt and Wang were out there,
man. They don't even like give him like a flesh color.
No, he said the Wang was out.
That's, and Reynolds and The Rock are just standing there?
I'm guessing they saw it.
I just all,
Everybody have unless, fun tonight. Everybody Wang Chung.
Sure, unless, unless like it's explicitly part of the movie that, hey, you're seeing full frontal, male or female. I just always assume that there's like some sort of flesh-colored piece covering the genitalia.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure The Rock has seen my dad's junk. Anyways, quick timeout and then a long commercial-free segment. We're live at Studio B. It's the PM team.